the book of Jude. And we started this message last week. We only got through the first point, so we're going to finish it up today. And we're covering this last section of the book of Jude. We are still in our Practical Christian Living series that we've been in for a couple of years now through the general epistles. Look with me again in verse 20 through 25, this last section. We'll do a little bit of review from last week and then move on in the message. Verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." We talked about last week how Jude has changed the direction of the focus. And we talked about how Jude desired to encourage these saints of God towards a strong church. And he begins in verse 3 by talking about how he wanted to write of the common salvation, but it was needful to write unto them to contend for the faith. And then he goes on in the next several verses to describe and to challenge them with those who had crept in, who would defile, who would destroy the life of that church, and beginning to give the markers so they could identify who these apostates would be or were. And so that's all in the context of Jude wanting a strong church and exhorting them towards growth. And so now he comes to the end of the chapter of the book, and he changes the direction from talking about those apostates back to the saints. And he says that in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves." Again, here he's exhorting towards growth and towards a strong church, exhorting them toward growth and maturity. And it's the same thing that we should desire as well, a strong and a stable and a mature body, a church that is doctrinally sound, and a church that is united together in unity, and a church that is building up and encouraging one another in the things of God. We ought to have that same mentality for our own personal life as well. We talked about how Jude uses some specific words, action words here, to encourage the local church, and how the church is to be a church of action, how it is God's will for God's people to not be the same, to not be stagnant, but to be gaining in ground. And we looked at this first word that Jude uses. He notes here, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, having compassion on the lost. All of these are action words that we'll be considering here. But the first one he talked about was building up yourselves. We talked about increasing or gaining on a foundation that's already been laid. This is the idea of building up yourselves. It carries the idea of gaining ground rather than losing ground, having to cover the same ground over again. We talked about the holy faith. Build yourselves on your most holy faith. That's the foundation. What is that word, holy faith, in the Greek here? It's the word for truth itself. You build on a foundation of truth. And then he says, build yourselves. We talked about the personal responsibility here, individually, but also a group effort to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to exhort one another in the things of God. God wants us to grow both spiritually and physically. So then we began looking at this building process. We talked about the first principle, the superiority of building. How is superior building accomplished? Or what makes a building superior? Well, superior building begins with having the right foundation. You got to have the right foundation if you're going to build something strong. And we talked about Ephesians 2:20, that gives us two things about having the right foundation. The foundation, first of all, has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. In your own life and in the church, it has to be built on Christ. It cannot be built on traditions. It cannot be built on policies and programs and all the things that might attract people. Christ has to be the foundation. But then, secondly, we talked about the foundation being the Word of God. The Word of God is able to build us individually. We talked about how aligning our life with truth from the Word of God gives us benefits in all areas of life. You're a better worker on the job if you align your life with the truth of God's Word. Your finances are handled better if you apply the principles of God's Word to your financial life. Your marriages are better if you apply the principles of God's Word in your home and in your life. Your children are raised for the glory of God when you apply Bible principles in your life. Everything about life has got to be centered on the Word of God. And we talked about, and you know this, we talk about it all the time, but we cannot, as saints of God, pick and choose which parts of the Bible we want to believe. Oh, I believe all of it. Well, our actions prove whether or not we actually believe all of it or not. That's the proof of it. Our words mean nothing. And we don't have the right, number one, and we're certainly not going to find the blessing of God if we adhere to some truth of the Bible and yet ignore others, because those other parts don't really fit in with how I want to live my life. It's got to be Christ, and it's got to be the Word of God. The Word of God will build us individually. It'll build our families. It teaches dads how to be dad. Teaches husbands how to be husbands, moms to be moms, wives to be wives, children to be obedient, etc. It has everything that we need. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where has he given that to us? In His Word. And also the Word of God is able to build the church. If the function of the church and the programs of the church and the ministries of the church, the life of the church as a whole, is not firmly rooted on the Word of God, it's going to fail. It's going to compromise. It's going to go the way of religion and the world. As a pastor, as an under-shepherd, God's given me the responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. Sometimes that's not easy to do. Sometimes it's not easy to do because I see how some react, or I know how some are going to react just from human nature. And it's not always easy to do. But as a pastor, as an under-shepherd, I'd be a dumb dog who doesn't sound the warning if I failed to preach the whole counsel of God. If we don't preach the whole counsel of God, if we don't adhere to the Word of God, if we're not exposed to the Word of God, what do we do? What do we lean on? Where do we go? We naturally go to the way of our flesh. We naturally go to what pleases me or how I want to live. There are some who have the attitude that a preacher has no right to tell them how they should live their life. Guess what? I don't want to tell you how to live your life. I don't want to control your life. But what I do want for you is to find the blessing of God and to find growth and maturity and strength and stability and find joy and peace in the perfect will of God for your life. You're not going to find it anywhere else if you're not obedient to the Word of God. Some people say, preacher has no right to tell me how to live my life, or you shouldn't do that. Well, you know what? It's not the preacher. It's the truth of God's Word. That's what it is. If a preacher just says, thus saith the Lord, hey, listen, I'm concerned about something in your life, friend. You shouldn't be living this way. You shouldn't be doing this. Don't you see where you're going to take yourself? Don't you see where you're going? Don't you see what happens when you compromise truth? Listen, if you want God's blessing, you need to follow the book. It's not the preacher who's telling you how to run your life. But doesn't God have the right to? Yes, He does. He's our Creator. He owns us. He made us. He has every right to tell us how we ought to live. Our job is to submit and obey. The Word of God will build us. The church will become dead, flat, lifeless, worthless, if it is not firmly built and rooted on the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's what we talked about last week. So we're going to talk more about this building. That's what makes building superior. Gives us a superior product when it's built on Christ and it's built on the truth of God's Word. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The next thing we're going to consider is the materials of the building. We consider the superiority of the building. Jude says to build up yourselves on your most holy faith. So we consider the superiority of the building. Now let's consider the materials. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul addresses this issue of the building materials here with right materials versus the wrong materials. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So here, Paul addresses this issue of building upon the foundation, which we know is Christ. And he addresses the building materials with right materials versus wrong materials. What are we building with is the question. He says here, he talks about in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. He talks about all these materials for building. The gold, the silver, the precious stones are separate or different from the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And he says the fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. If it lasts, if it's put to the test and put to the fire, and it lasts, it's gold, silver, precious stones. It's something that is eternal, something that lasts. But wood and hay and stubble can all be burned up and will be burned up. And it'll try every man's work of what sort it is. Here's the building materials. And what are we building with? Well, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, we would liken unto building on the doctrines, the good doctrines of the Word of God. The wood, the hay, the stubble would be building materials of man's own thinking or man's preferences of how I want to live. All right? There's a contrast here. I'm going to build my life. We're going to build this church either on the good doctrines of the Word of God, or we're going to try to build something on our own thinking and our own preferences. Which one's going to last? Which one's going to be proven? Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's what Paul says to preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look with me in verse 2. Let's see. Not right. 2 Timothy 4, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse 2. He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Right, so according to those who say a preacher has no right to tell people how to live their life, according to Paul, talking to preacher Timothy, he says, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and what? Doctrine. Right? The word of God and the preaching of the word of God is meant to give us instruction on how we ought to live our life. But now let's go down to verse 13. So here's Paul's instruction to Timothy. In verse 13, oh boy, that's not right either. I need a new secretary. Let's see, that's not what I'm looking for. This kind of messes everything up. The whole point I'm trying to make here. There it is. Okay. It's chapter 4. Yeah, down in verse 13. I was looking in the wrong chapter. I need new eyes. Maybe that's what it is. Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to what? Doctrine. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the what? Say it. Say it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You guys got to stay with me. It was 2nd. Okay, so here, let me start over. 2 Timothy 4, 2, but then you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Let's start over. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. All right, so we're talking about the building materials. The gold, the silver, the precious stones that Paul is talking about is the good doctrine of the Word of God that we can build upon. Okay? Paul tells Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. According to 1 Timothy 4, he says, give attendance to doctrine. He says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine, right teaching. It's important. Doctrine is important. It is the materials for building a superior building. And Paul says, preach the word all the time, in season, out of season, whether it's popular, whether it's not, you preach the word. In other words, preach the word, whether it fills the place up or clears the place out. You preach the word of God. There are some times when people visit church and they never come back. We never see them again. There's other times when people try it out for a little while and they think, oh, this is really nice. I think I might like this place and people are so friendly, and I'm going to start coming to church here. And they try it out for a little while. But when the truth of God's word and doctrine is starting to be preached, and the doctrine of the word of God is exposing what's going on in their life, they don't want to face that truth anymore because it begins to condemn areas of their life, and they don't want to change. What are they building on? They start to build on wood, hay, and stubble. They're building on my thinking or my preference rather than submitting to the truth of God's word. Someday, you're going to stand before the Lord and it's going to be tried with fire. Every man's work of what sort it is, it's going to be tried with fire. The day will declare it. The day will show it. How you built your life. Was it built on the doctrine of the Word of God? On the truth of the Word of God? Was life becoming more and more aligned with the Word of God? Or were you building on personal preference? Or what pleases me or my thinking? Listen, this applies in daily living. It applies how we live when it comes to separation. It applies how we live with the entertainments that we let into our life. Come on, it does. when the Word of God begins to reveal truth and it starts to condemn some area of my life, if I am going to align with God's Word and say, "You're right, Lord, I'm going to change in this area because I want to please you. Hey, I am building gold, silver, precious stones." But when the Word of God exposes some area of my life, maybe it's in how I dress. Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, I just think that I'm okay. I'm fine with where I am. I think God is probably pleased with me too. You're deceiving yourself. And you're building on wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Because you are not aligning with the truth of God's Word. Paul told Timothy, look, you got to preach it, whether it's popular or not, whether it fills the place up or clears the place out, preach it. Because some will hear it, and some will align to it, and some will experience the blessing of God, and others, it will show what they're building with. Listen, it's not easy to have to admit that some area of life or way that we're living is in contradiction to the Word of God. That's not easy to admit it. We've got to swallow our pride. And we've got to submit to the will of God. But it's the only way that we build on the foundation that was laid. It's the only way we have the right kind of building. Man's thinking, and my preference, is never going to last in the fires that God puts to it. We can't build on anything else and expect it to last. It's got to be the good doctrine of the Word of God. We cannot build two things we can't build with. We can't build with the flesh. No good will come of it. It won't last. We cannot build with the flesh. That's what religion does. Builds on the flesh. The contemporary church, the Friends Church, and the Thrive Church, and the Olive Leaf Church, or whatever other weird name they come up with. That's the contemporary man's thinking. Here's what they do. They'll send out the poll, you know, in the mail. If you were to start a church, or you were to attend a church, what would you like to see in church? Mrs. Hickman's looking at me like I'm crazy. No, they actually do this. They actually do this. I mean, maybe you've never gotten one in the mail or not. But they'll take a poll. What would you like to see in a church? Check the box, you know. All these different categories. We got to have the praise and worship team. And we got the dramas. And we've got the splinters, Bible study groups and the Sunday school hour. And you can pick whichever one you want to go to. And you can do this and you can do that. And they've got all of these hyped up things, taking the straw poll to see what people would like in a church, and then say, oh, this is what we're offering as a church so that we can get the people in the door. So you got to get them in the door in order to preach at them. Well, why not just take a look at what the Lord says in His Word builds a strong church and preach the good doctrine of the Word of God, whether it's popular or not. Amen? Whether it brings the people in or clears the place out. The Lord knows what He's doing. You can't build with the flesh. You can't build with taking the poles and putting the coffee bars in and the rock bands on the stage and the dramas and all of those things. Well, it might get people in the door, but it's just an entertainment complex. That's all it becomes. And it's certainly not going to build a strong, mature, stable church. There's no strong foundation, and it's the wrong building materials. And it's only going to lead to more compromise. We cannot build with the flesh. We can't build in our own strength. Hype and programs are all wrong building materials. You know, I could stand up here and I could rant and rave. Oh, wait, I already do that. I could stand up here and try to get a whole lot of hype and just be a cheerleader and fire you up. But what good is that going to do if it's not in your heart? What good is that going to do if it's not in your heart to be obedient to God's word and to love the Lord with all of your heart? We can't build in our own strength, and we can't certainly build with, I'm okay with where I'm at. Like, I've reached a good level of spiritual maturity, and I'll just level off here, and God will be pleased with that. My preferences are not a good substitute for Bible truth. A.W. Tozer said this, if you've got an open mind and an open Bible and a pen and a piece of paper, it won't take you very long to find out what's wrong with you.
Well, I'm not going to do that then.
An open mind and an open Bible, it doesn't take very long to find out what's wrong with us and what we need to change. But that's how we build something that's going to last. We can't build with the flesh, and we can't build with fiction. We can't build with fiction. What do I mean by that? There's all these philosophies out there, and even in religious circles, in Christianity, you know, the name it, claim it philosophy. You know, there's something I want. I just got to name it. I just got to speak it. I got to claim it. God's going to give it to me. The power of positive thinking. I don't know if there's ever been anything more foolish than that. What good has that ever really done? I mean, it's good to think positive, but where does that confidence, that positivity need to be based? In the truth of God's word. Just because I'm thinking positive here, you know, tell that to the guy who's being mauled by a bear. I'm just going to think positive here and it's all going to go away. Right? You can't build on fiction. You can't build on the health and the wealth gospel. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And if you've got some sickness in your life, then there's something going on, and God wants to do something, but God really wants you to be wealthy. You just give your money here, and God will pour out his blessings on you. It's a bunch of lies. You can't build on fiction. It's got to be on the Word of God and truth. The materials for building must be the doctrines of truth for the life of the church and for your individual life. I can't say it enough. I cannot express it to you enough, my friend. I don't want to tell you how to live your life. I simply want to see God's best for you and for me. And I know that it comes in no other way but then aligning our life with the truth of God's word. It's so easy for us to start to, our thinking to start to be skewed. You know? Well, this area is, you know, we make just too big of a deal out of this. We just need to agree on the real important things, like salvation by grace through faith. Yes, we do need to agree on that. But it's not about you and I agreeing with each other. It's about us agreeing with God and what he has said and aligning our life with that. And if it's a doctrine of the Word of God, it cannot be ignored. It must be obeyed. We cannot pick and choose. Well, that doctrine, you know, that was old teaching for back then. Things have changed now. We're more enlightened. The culture's changed, etc., etc. All that is building on my preference. Materials must be the doctrines of the Word of God. Listen, if it's a Bible doctrine, it must be obeyed. If Bible truth is set aside or departed from, there's going to be compromise and there's going to be loss. It happens every time. We need to earnestly contend for truth in our own life and build on truth. Build up yourselves on truth. Anytime there's a departure from the truth of God's word, there's going to be compromise and there's going to be loss. And Paul said, the fire's coming and it's going to try every man's work. And he said, those that are burned up, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, those people will be saved, yet so as by fire. Meaning that everything that they did in this life, yeah, they were saved, but everything that they did in service, everything they did in Christianity, all of it was wood, hay, and stubble, and it's all going to be burned up, and you're going to be saved from the fires of hell, but you're not going to have any reward, anything to offer God. We'll be ashamed when we come into the presence of the Lord. So we address the materials of the building, the superiority of the building, but I want you to note with me lastly here the benefits of this kind of building. The benefits. Go back to Jude, verse 24. So here Jude is encouraging the brethren, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, we'll talk about that. Keep yourselves in the love of God, we'll talk about that. Having compassion on, making a difference, we'll talk about that too. But then he gets to verse 24 and he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Here's the benefits of the building, this kind of building, is that when we're presented before the Lord, we're presented as faultless. Not only are we presented as faultless, but we have exceeding joy. Here's the benefits of this kind of building. Look also in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. All right, so he says, you've received the Lord, you need to walk with the Lord, you need to be rooted, you need to be built up in him, you need to be established in the faith, as ye have been taught, you need to abound. Now flip over to chapter 1 and look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. What does he say? He says you've been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and what does he want you to do? He wants you to be built up. He wants you to be rooted. He wants you to be grounded. He wants you to be established in the faith. Why? Because he wants to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. How does that happen? If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. How is it that we stand before the Lord unashamed, unreprovable? How is it that we stand before the Lord without rebuke? When we build, continually build our life upon the truth of God's Word. Always aligning with the Word of God. Putting down the flesh, putting aside my own preferences. Well, I prefer to dress this way. Are you with me? I prefer to have this sort of entertainment in my life. I just prefer, this is who I am. This is just my attitude. This is just my personality. Not being willing to be changed. Not being willing to let the Word of God reprove and exhort and show you a better way. Always, you know, this applies in all different areas of life. The truth of the matter is we just have to continually be aligning with the Word of God so that we might be presented as faultless, unblameable, unreprovable, not ashamed with reward. Well, the opposite is also true. If we don't follow the Scripture, if we don't align our life with the Word of God, then we're going to stand before the Lord with fault, being blamable, being reproved, and being ashamed. Right? The opposite is also true. The benefits of this kind of building is that when we stand before the Lord, it's with exceeding joy, with reward to give the Lord, and not ashamed. The Christian life is to be one of building and one of growing. Jude says to these folks, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Are you truly building on truth? Or are you going through life, at least parts of life, according to my preference? What should building on your most holy faith look like? I'll finish up with this. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. What does it actually look like when we're building on this, on truth? 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What should building on your most holy faith look like? Hey, adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, that's balance, and patience, and godliness. This is a pattern of spiritual development. This is a pattern of building. Ultimately, that building takes shape into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it takes the shape of. Is your life changing? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? More patient, more temperate, more godly, sweet in the spirit, cooperative, loving the Lord, loving your brethren. Those are all things that show a pattern of building on good doctrine. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd make application through your Spirit in each heart and each life. And we all need to do some self-examination from time to time. And Father, no matter what point we've grown in our Christian experience and Christian life, there's always room to improve. And there's always something that needs to be adjusted, because this old flesh won't ever go away. Lord, I pray that you'd cause us and encourage us and challenge us just to be diligent and honest with ourselves and honest with you in examining our heart and our life. In those areas that we can see that are not really in alignment with the truth of God's Word, I pray that we'd have a tender spirit. And Father, be willing to yield those things to your control. Father, be willing to allow you to change us and not be resistant, not be building with wood, hay, and stubble, to go through this life thinking we're going to find some enjoyment in it, living for self, and only to stand before the Lord ashamed, rebuked, without reward. Father, may it be in our heart as your people to love you with all that we have and all that we are, our entire being, body, soul, spirit, mind. And Father, allow you to have your will to change us and mold us and shape us. Bless your people. Father, we ask that you bless our church. Use us for your honor and your glory. Grow us in you. Father, make us stable and strong and mature. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.